Wednesday, November 28th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 51. This week we deal with garden gnome guards, Grendel's mom, and ghastly creatures from outer space. That's what I like about our show. We're so grounded in the real world. Right?
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
I want to welcome everyone back. This is episode 51, so we're back to our normal shows. No 51, you know, items in, 30 minutes or something like that. Although we did have a few people, I think it was Chris, who congratulated us and said we should do 100 and 100. And,
We'll see about that.
We've got 49 episodes to think about that.
It's tough, though, because when we started compiling the list, we were like, oh, well, we want to give that more time. That deserves more time and that kind of stuff. So if we can come up with, like, 100 things that really do deserve, like, 0.3 seconds.
I was just going to say, we had to remove the things that we thought were necessary. We should say also that we want to apologize to Chris because there was a mix-up. He asked us to review Manager Tool. I think it's Tool without an S.
And we reviewed Tool with an S. So we reviewed the wrong website.
Right, which explained why we're like, this isn't that impressive. I was like, okay. So we'll review that one soon. But we want to thank everybody who contributed suggestions and feedback and everybody who thanked us and congratulated us and all that stuff in episode 50. We appreciate it. You guys are great. That's why you got such a high number of review. And this week we continue on back to the regular show because we have a lot more stuff that has come in recently that we have to talk about. Before we get to some review stuff specifically, I think you have an email though, right, Clea, from Devo?
We have another email from Devo where she said, congrats on the 50th episode. Quite entertaining. But she notes that she's a huge fan of Japanese food, and she has concerns that, Greg, your dislike may be due to having horrible Japanese food on the East Coast, and that maybe if you had better Japanese food, maybe on the West Coast, you might like it more.
I guess that would depend on whether it didn't involve the textures that I dislike strongly about Japanese food. I mean, I'm okay with sushi. It's okay. It's not my favorite, but I can, you know, sometimes sushi is good, but the rest of it I just don't like, and I think a lot of that's the texture of the food. I'm not sure that would change. Maybe there's great texture in the West Coast?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a texture thing with Greg, and I don't know whether or not that would change, but maybe if the flavor was more amazing, you might go for it.
Well, the next time we're out on the West Coast, I will consider taking a look and checking it out. So we want to say hi to Devo and thank you for the feedback. And we're open-minded here at Upon Further Review. That's one of the big things we try to do. Okay, so we've got three things on the docket for today, as per usual. We're going to start out with something from our listener, Mike, who is, as people will know, a computer programmer. And he has just released, or I shouldn't say he, but his company, has just released their first game that involves him anyway, called Garden Defense. And I must admit that for some reason I had it in my head that Mike had been doing stuff on some Tomb Raider game, and he might also have been, and I just forgot about it. But in any case, he's just finished this, and we're going to have a chance to review Garden Defense. It's something I hadn't really expected, but it's pretty cool, so we will start out by reviewing that. Next, we're going to move on to the movie Beowulf. Clea has seen the movie this weekend, and I have taught the book. In fact, I'm going to be teaching it next semester in my class, and we wanted to comment a little bit about Beowulf generally, and then about the movie versions and things like that, and I might even throw in some stuff about Neil Gaiman, who wrote the script to Beowulf, because I happened to meet him a couple weekends ago. So we'll talk about that. And then lastly, we're going to conclude with reviewing the Dick Dynamo podcast. This was submitted to us for review. All right?
That sounds good.
Okay, so let us start then with the Garden Defense game. And you can find this at www.iwin.com. Very cute, iwin. iwin.com is actually kind of a full game download service, where if you go in and you sign up, and I believe signing up is free, I don't think it costs anything for that, you can download and try out various games. And in fact, there's a free 1-hour trial that I think you get if you go to the one directly. He gave us a link to it in any case. But
yeah.
So you go there, then you do the free download. We actually, because we wanted to play a little bit longer, got the week-long free trial. After that, I'm not sure if we're going to actually buy the game because we're pretty busy doing a lot of different stuff, but it gave us a chance to sort of try different aspects of the game as well. So a couple things I guess we wanted to say about this. First of all, the Garden Defense game, when you start playing it, the premise essentially is that you are trying to defend the garden from various pests. pests, creepy crawly things, bugs, snails, butterflies, grasshoppers, etc., etc., from eating the flower beds. You're trying to defend the garden, and you do this through basically three tools. That's as far as we got. We got, I think, maybe three or four sections into it, and each section has a few different levels. You can plant things that are gadgets. So the father in this game creates gadgets. So you can put like gnomes with laser guns and rocket launchers. You can put in flamingos that whirl their wings around and create problems for butterflies. They slow them down and kill them. There's a cupid, which actually uses water. We won't explain how it uses water, but you know, it's a fountain. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, presumably that slows... it's a family game, so presumably our description could be family.
Would safe. Be all right. So, right. So it you know, drops water on the ground and slows crawling creatures down. And
it's like a cupid water statue, like a fountain.
So you have that. Then the mother likes to do everything organic, so you can plant spitting sunflowers and cacti that fling needles at different flying creatures. And then there's also a nightshade, which shoots out these poisonous clouds to crawling creatures. And then last, the daughter is an expert in insects, and so she actually can build these houses in the flower bed, and you can send out different insects, stink bugs and dragonflies and ladybugs and things like that to combat the pests. That's as far as we got, but basically that's the idea. And as you go through the game, you can build up points so that you can go into the lab and upgrade things. So you can have like super gnomes, and you can have, you know, less expensive items, and you can, you know, purchase things that way. And even within the game, you can upgrade on a smaller level the different individual units, like garden gnomes and things like that, through spending money. And you get money by basically killing off the bugs and by doing that over the course of time.
I mean, in a way, I guess I kind of feel like it's a children's version of a sort of like Warcraft or...
I know what you mean. I mean, it's a strategy game, if that's what
where
you mean.
Where you're building things, and then they start coming, and you have to kill them, and you have to build more, and there's a little bit of a timing and strategy aspect.
Yeah, I guess there's something to that. And it reminded me a little bit also of the game Lemmings, if people remember back in the day, which was a game where you had to basically get all of this group of lemmings from one part of the screen to another by building ramps and bridges, and, you know, you could create lemmings that could dig things, so they could dig down into the ground. This reminded me a little bit of that, although it's a lot less annoying and the graphics are much better, which is good. So we're glad about that. And each one of the sections has a series of levels that you have to get past, and when you get past it, you can go on to the next one. And in between, there's a very simple story about trying to, you know, conquer the pest and everything else. But as Clea said, this is a kind of young person's game in a lot of ways. It's a family game that, you know, kids can have fun with. But it is enjoyable. I mean, I played it for a little while, actually, and thought it was pretty fun.
It was engaging.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's nice in that you can have different speeds of the action happening, so you can slow it down, which is nice.
That's true, which will give you time to plot where you want to put something.
Speed it up if you want it to move along.
Yep.
And you can, you know, you get enough money from killing the pests to actually be able to upgrade things pretty quickly and buy new things. So it's not really frustrating. You know, it's kind of fun to just... Like, I like to play Heroes
of Might and Magic, which we'll have to review at some point, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I don't really want it to be extremely hard. You know, I want to be able to work with strategy, but not have to be so hard that you almost die or that you die really easily. You know, you get overwhelmed by the people that are coming upon you. So I like that I can win, and it challenges me a little bit, but it's not like incredibly difficult and annoying.
Well, also, there are different difficulty levels from all the way from very easy up to hard and very hard, and you get different badges for completing each one. And as you complete the different ones, different challenges open up where you get to do certain levels where you're restricted in some way, like defeat this only using gnomes, or defeat this only doing this or only doing that. And what Clea said, I think the most elegant game mechanic that I really like is the speed change, as Clea said, because one of the things that Clea is talking about is if you play real-time strategy games, which I've done in the past, like Company of Heroes, let's say. Company of Heroes is a great game, but it is the most frustrating game in the world if you're trying to play with anybody online, because these are people who do nothing but play 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, or more than that. And so you get on there, and they basically are speeding things around, and they're putting buildings here, and they're sending guys down there, and you basically get wiped off the map before you even have a chance to get into it. And I've heard people talk about it, oh, well, it's just a matter of winning and you challenge yourself to become better. Yeah, but you know, it also becomes boring when the real key is how fast you can click your mouse button.
Right.
And one of the things I like about this is it is a real-time game. I mean, everything is happening in real time, but between levels, you have a chance to buy and set up your defenses the way you want, and there's nothing going on while you're doing that. And then even when you click start, so you click ready and the level begins, as Clea said, you can slow it down so that it's practically moving. I mean, it's not still, but it's way, way slow. Or you can speed it up if you set your defenses and you know how the game's going to end and you just want to move past that level because you've got everything set up properly, you can speed the game up. So I really like that mechanic. And all of it is very intuitive and simple. The help you know, system is very intuitive. All the setup of the game is very much easy to get into and learn. And so I like the different versions that are available there.
It seems to have a pretty high rating. I mean, it's only been 20 reviews, but seems to have a 5-star rating, and comments seemed to say that their children like it. And
yep. And that it's enjoyable, and they like the upgrades and the different things in it. And I can see why. This is one of those games that was well executed and put together. Mm-hmm. One caveat I would have is about the sound. Two things about the sound. First of all, the music is really annoying. Now, I don't know if this is something that's unique to Strategy,
but
it is they change from, let's say, section to section, the music changes. But from level to level, it's the same. And when you go through, 15, 20, 25 waves, it's just like, that gets tiresome. And the sound itself is, oftentimes it makes sense, but sometimes it's a little odd. Like, there are some sound effects that sound kind of like a Three Stooges thing, like, where someone's like, doink, boink, bink,
When you have your good bugs fighting the bad bugs, when they're attacking and...
Yes, Clea upgraded her stink bug to a flying stink bug.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Anyway, it was making like, doink, ding, doink. Like a mechanical, it just doesn't make any sense.
Which seemed a little odd.
Yeah. I don't think my dragonflies make that noise when they're beating up butterflies.
Although most dragonflies can't be upgraded to breathe actual fire, in fairness.
That's true.
We are dealing in a strange world.
Bit of suspension, disbelief.
But I mean, so I'm not sure about the sound part of it. And the other thing I would say, and this may just be related to the iWin thing, because iWin.com is this whole setup, it felt a little bit to me when I went over there like one of those game systems that I often try to avoid because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. It's one of those games that's like, oh, you can get 1,000 free games or 1,500 free games, and then you get into it and all of a sudden you're signed up for 6 million things. Now, in this case, we know Mike, and Mike was the one who recommended it to us, and so it was no problem to do that. But I would be a little worried about people going over there looking at it and thinking this has Trojan virus spyware spam written all over it, and I'd be a little worried about that if I were just sort of the company generally. So I'm not sure what they could do to correct that other than to make it seem a little bit less spammy. I don't know how else to put it, but it just feels a little amateurish in terms of how it's put together on the outside. I mean, when you're in it, there's obviously a lot of really well-developed games, but it feels as if it could be something which would maybe have some people shy away.
Okay. I don't think it looks amateurish. It does look like they could get you, right? Like it seems too good to be true kind of thing.
Right. So I would be careful a little bit about that. But otherwise,
it's
like this.
Shot. Go out and just please play it free that first hour, see if it's something you might want to do.
And
or
I
if
think
you
it's
have
fun.
Kids, I think they'd enjoy it.
And it's also not a game, I imagine the system requirements are not that incredible. It's a game which has a clever sense of humor. You can upgrade one of the creatures as a flamingo. So you can upgrade it to Flamingo Montoya, which I found amusing, probably more amusing than I needed to, but I still thought it was funny. But this is good stuff, and I think that I was glad that Mike sent it to us and that we're able to give it a good review. I do think it's a good game. It's not something which is going to change and alter the way that games are made from now until the end of time, but I think that it's a well-developed, well-executed game that's fun, and it's something which clearly they didn't rush out. They thought about how to put it together and did a good job with it.
It didn't seem buggy at all.
You want to say like an 8?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so an 8 out of 10 for Garden Defense. Good stuff, Mike, and people should go and check it out. Okay, next on the docket is the movie, Beowulf.
Are you the one they call Beowulf? Such a strong man you are. A man like you could own the greatest tale ever sung. Beowulf, stay with me. Give me a son, and I shall make you the greatest king that ever lived. This I swear. You will forever be king, forever strong, mighty. Beyond imagination.
What are you?
That's correct. Based upon the ancient Old English legend, Old English poem, really the first poem in the English language of any kind. And it has just come out, I guess, what, Clea, maybe 3 weeks ago, I guess?
Something like that,
3 weeks ago. Directed by Robert Zemeckis and starring a bunch of people you've heard of, John Malkovich, Anthony Hopkins, things like that. You can find the website at, not shockingly, www.beowulfmovie.com. Now, Clea had a chance to see this, and I have not, but I want Clea to talk a little bit about the movie, or should I talk about the poem first, and then you can talk about the movie? Talk about how it differs? Do you want to do it that way?
How about I talk about the movie?
Okay. And then I'll talk about the poem.
And you can talk a little bit about the poem.
Outstanding.
And why it is that you didn't go to see it with me.
Okay.
So most of you probably have heard about it or seen the posters. It's CGI. So it's been pretty much fully acted by legitimate actors. And then it's been turned into CGI. So when you look at it, it looks like a computer game, the cutscenes. It looks like a cutscene.
Oh,
the whole movie is a cutscene.
Right.
And this didn't necessarily turn me off. I was a big fan of Final Fantasy movie. I went to see it with Catherine, who you all know is another one of our reviewers that we bring in every once in a while.
Indeed.
And she, at the end of the movie, said if she had known it was CGI, she wouldn't have gone. But she was glad she didn't know because she didn't want to.
Did she say why that is? Just because she doesn't...
She found it very distracting.
Oh, okay.
Very obvious that what we were watching was not really real. And then, in a way, it could also be distracting because in Final Fantasy, we didn't really know any of those actors. While here, we know them. So, actually...
Well, we know Steve Buscemi from Final Fantasy. I guess we knew that person.
Okay. I don't know.
He's the guy from Fargo, and he was in a bunch of...
Anyway, moving on.
Yes, okay. So,
Clea did not know him,
obviously. So, the answer is, if you don't know people, like Clea doesn't, you're all set.
But it was funny when Greg was asking, because then when I got home, we had to discuss it, and he wanted to see how true it was, the story, blah, blah, blah. I didn't remember any of the people's names.
Any of the characters, so, I'm like, well, who's this person? Like, I don't know. It's guy with sword. This is guy with crown. Guy with crown?
No, but Anthony Hopkins said, and then John Malkovich was like, and then Robin Wright Penn was, and then there was, and then Angelina Jolie, you know.
Sigh.
So, I mean, that was kind of, you know, you're obviously then kind of seeing, oh, okay, there's the Angelina Jolie character. And it kind of looks like her, but a little bit not because they messed with it. So in a way, it does affect suspension of disbelief, I think, very much so. And then there is the aspect of that it being 3D. And I have to say that I have had very few positive 3D experiences in the last couple of years.
Last one I saw was Superman, I think, 3D.
Right, we saw it together. And the reason I say it's not very satisfying is because I don't really feel that it's utilized to its fullest potential. And usually a theme that I've noticed is usually they'll use 3D quite a bit in the beginning, and then it's almost like it's forgotten. And it doesn't really enhance the story. There's no way that the 3D is utilized at all in the rest of the movie to anything of significance. So that's another thing. So then going to the actual story and the way that it is portrayed, I think that it is a little bit of kind of similar in some ways to, what was it, 300?
Yes. Yeah, the movie 300.
Again,
yeah.
which also kind of
Sparta!
Had
Sparta!
It is a little bloody. It is a little violent.
A little. By little, we mean a lot.
No, I mean, probably not as much as 300. But
well, no, but that no, nothing is as bloody as that movie. But Beowulf is pretty bloody, you said, right? I mean, there's some...
It was pretty bloody. It's, well, mainly the battle scenes.
Okay.
You know, there's a first major scene where Grendel comes in and he pretty much just cleans house.
If you read the poem is pretty darn bloody too, to
right.
be fair. So.
Right. So overall, I felt that it was acted fairly well. There were some nice moments, and I guess I could see the potential of the CG, of what they wanted to do with it. But you know, we could also have epic special effects, as I think Lord of the Rings can demonstrate. So for me, watching it, being married to Greg and knowing a little bit about Beowulf from him, knowing that this didn't fit pretty much the entire point of Beowulf, I was kind of conscious about that. And so overall, I think the message of the movie, I tried to look at it from a blank slate. And as a blank slate, I didn't quite like the message that it was saying. Actually, Catherine said, well, pretty much what I've learned is that it's saying women are trouble. That's pretty much what it's saying, is it's women are trouble, and the prettier, the more trouble they are. And I don't really get a sense that they were trying to convey, you know, that a hero's pride can get him too far, or that him learning lessons from past. No, pretty much Grendel's mother is a troublemaker, and she's caused trouble in at least two generations of kings, and probably will do so for the rest of the, you know, until she's actually killed, if ever. And that's just pretty much how it's left. So with that in mind, I think that it, I don't know, it's gotten pretty good reviews, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's some people who are not sure about it, but yeah, overall, it's been pretty positive.
Right. So what I say, is it worth seeing? I mean, I guess if you're going to see it, you should see it in a theater.
Right.
And not Netflix it. Is it worth seeing in general? I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't regret seeing it. But definitely as a movie that's trying to convey a message, it falls short.
A couple things I wanted to say about the... First of all, I met Neil Gaiman, who was the guy who wrote or co-wrote the script for this, a couple of weeks ago. Neil Gaiman also wrote American Gods, and he originally did the Sandman comic series people may be familiar with. He also wrote Anansi Boys. Mm-hmm. If you remember the movie Stardust earlier this year, he wrote the book for that was made into a film. There's another one called Coraline that he was writing next year is going to be coming out as a movie. So I have a lot of respect for Gaiman, and when I met him, the presentation he gave at this fantasy conference where I was reading a part of my first novel, I met him and I had a chance to listen to him speak, and he's really impressive, and a lot of his writing I think is very good. But he said about this movie that he said, oh, you know, it was a chance for me to play around with the myth a little bit, and right. Yeah, I mean, from the way that I've read a full synopsis of the script, and I've now heard, you know, Clea talk a little bit about it as well. And the problem really, as I see it, is twofold. Here's my overall thought about it. I have no problem with changing and playing with mythology.
Right.
But I think that you bear a responsibility to have the story told first as it is before you start playing around with it. And before this version of Beowulf, there have been several other attempts at Beowulf. There was a Canadian movie called Beowulf and Grendel, which was absolutely terrible, where Grendel, who's supposed to be this hideous demonic monster, is basically a 7-foot Neanderthal guy. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And then this movie, which came out, you know, where basically, without going and spoiling the plot, there are major, major departures from the way that the poem is written. And the problem I have with that is not just as an English professor who teaches a class with it and everything. I'm not just doing it from an ivory tower perspective, but Beowulf the poem is such an interesting poem. It has so many interesting capacities to it. It has so many interesting concepts. The idea of arrogance and pride, which really underlies the Oedipus, you know, mythology. Oedipus Rex, for example, the play by Sophocles, is a play where Oedipus's arrogance and self-absorption finally takes him down. Well, Beowulf, there's a lot of that in the character of Beowulf as well. He's arrogant, he's a great warrior, but he's so much consumed with his own ability to beat things, and it's always about what he can do, that it means that later on in the poem, when he becomes king, he's wholly incapable of defeating, you know, and basically creating a kingdom around him that will outlast him. So when Beowulf dies at the end of the poem, basically the kingdom is going to collapse because he's never taught anyone to defend themselves. That, from what Clea described here, basically gets lost. You get the understanding that he's arrogant and all that, but you don't get any sense of what it is that he's really fighting. And a lot of what he's fighting is his own pride in himself.
Right.
Instead, I mean, what they said about this movie was, well, it fills in a lot of the gaps. But no, it doesn't, though. I mean, and this, I'm not spoiling anything. If you noticed in the trailer, you'll see Angelina Jolie as Grendel's mother. Let me just say that again. Angelina Jolie as Grendel's mother. Angelina Jolie is extraordinarily attractive. Grendel's mother, not so much. So by doing it this way, by making her into a seductress rather than a monster, you're again taking it away from what the ultimate point of the poem was supposed to be. Now again, am I saying you can never do that? No. But I wish that somebody would actually take on the spirit of the poem first before they go on to play around with it all the time.
Well, I see it as slightly different as Greg. I don't have an issue... Well, sometimes I do. Like, there were certain changes to The Lord of the Rings which bothered me, because there are certain characters that I liked, and there were choices that they made.
But for the most part, they didn't screw around with it.
That there were certain characters that I liked, and that they actually, some of the actions that they did changed the way the characters could be viewed, and it wasn't true to the character. But, you know, putting that aside, I'd be fine with them doing all of these changes. Fine, make Angelina Jolie Grendel's mother. I mean, she's displaying an illusion to seduce these people. We do get the impression that she is a beast and that she's putting on a face. Make it that, you know, she has had produced these spawns, which actually in the book she didn't necessarily, and definitely the fathers weren't the fathers that they say they are in the movie. I would be fine with all of that if they still conveyed the message, the underlying messages, morals, plot of the original. But all of that is lost. The whole point of Beowulf and the messages that is conveyed is completely lost. So if you see the movie and you think, okay, I get an idea of Beowulf and I get an idea of the messages that are conveyed in this epic poem, you're not. Whatever is being conveyed in this movie is not at all what's conveyed in the poem. And so that's my issue, is I don't think they had to have lost that. And also I think in the end, some people are going to like it as just as a thrilling action flick, but you're not going to like it as conveying any kind of message that tells you anything really, except, you know, literally things like what Catherine said of, okay, I learned that women are trouble, especially the prettier they are, the harder the guy falls.
Which is certainly not the point of the poem. And part of the issue here, of course, is that Beowulf really is great not only because it's an action poem, but because it also has real messages. There's messages of fate and the role of destiny. It's a poem which transitions from paganism into Christianity, and so there are some interesting elements there. But this really plays around with, ooh, look, a cool CG dragon. And that, I'm afraid, is losing a significant part of it. And that, by the way, is what I think is different about this and, let's say, Lord of the Rings, which, although Inclea is right, it did make some changes, didn't fundamentally take away from right. the spirit of the book. And really, you know, as much as there are a lot of great whiz-bang war scenes, doesn't forget about, let's say, the hobbits struggling into Mordor. That continues to be a part, a central focus of the film. And that seems to not have happened here. A lot of that message has gotten lost in favor of, or let's look at how cute, you know, attractive Angelina Jolie is.
You know, this claim of, let's fill in the blanks. But it really didn't fill in the blanks. It was interesting when I said, well, you know, then it cut to this scene, and Greg was like, okay, that's the same thing that does in the poem. They still have that cut of, what, 40, 50 years.
Right.
They still do that in the movie. So it's not like we really get any idea of how he's developed as an individual during that time
period. So they created gaps and filled them, not filled the gaps that existed already. You know, they were like, well, what would happen if this were there?
They just made up new things. Yeah, that's what they did. They didn't fill gaps. They just made up new characters. And that's fine. I mean, again, you talked about Gaiman in one of the things he said at the convention was that he sees, you know, fantasy as kind of like a big melting pot.
Stew, I think, was
a big
term.
Stew. Big stew. And, you know, you ladle out and you ladle in.
Which is true.
And if he really does see this as Beowulf is just part of that stew, I guess he ladled out, but it would have been nice if he could also have ladled out the message that poem conveys.
And why does it have to be Beowulf? Then make another film where you use a lot of Beowulfish characters and call it something else. Call it The Fight Against Grendel, or call it something else. Don't pretend, make it seem to be the story of Beowulf when it really isn't.
It's not the story of Beowulf. It's the story of Grendel's mother and the curse, this fake curse
that's involved. So, so, you know, I'm not sure what you want to say in terms of a rating. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, I would say I feel like we should rate it as not from a Beowulf perspective of just saying as a movie.
Okay, as a movie then.
I would say a 6 or 7.
Okay, let's say a 6 then. And, you know, and I guess we can say, you know, if you've never, now again, it's if you've never read the poem, I'm sure you could enjoy it either way. It's just that I wish that we didn't have to lose it and didn't, you know, use it almost as a title, like, oh, great, I get to go see Beowulf, when you're not really going to see Beowulf. You're going to see a story, which is a totally different thing. So, so in that sense, I guess we'll
it's like iRobot, you know, it's like you go and see iRobot. It's not iRobot.
Utterly different.
Don't think you cannot read the book.
This at least doesn't do that kind of violence to Beowulf. This isn't quite that bad, my God. Anyway, okay, so a 6 out of 10 for Beowulf. Okay, last on the docket for tonight is the podcast Dick Dynamo.
This Justin from the future. Dick Dynamo was the premier test pilot for the USAF. On the mission in the new experimental AS-400 rocket, a malfunction occurred, thrusting him into a tear in the fabric of time and space. It was there that he acquired knowledge of the fifth dimensional arts. And now, with his computational briefcase possessing powers far beyond those of mere mortal briefcases, he is... Dynamo, the fifth dimensional man.
And this was actually described to us when they sent in the email as an independent new/old-time radio show. Dick Dynamo, the Fifth Dimensional Man, is an audio theater production spoofing science fiction and mystery radio shows from the 40s and 50s. Dick Dynamo, also known as the Quint, is a cosmic troubleshooter who travels across dimensions using his trusty computational briefcase. Join Dick's hilarious misadventures as he encounters excitement, thrills, and mystery from other worlds. And you can find this website at www.dickdynamo.com.
And they only have three episodes so far.
Yeah, normally, I should have said, normally, this is my fault. Normally, we only review podcasts that have at least five episodes done, and I didn't notice after I agreed to review it. But still, they're pretty long episodes and involved.
Yeah, we got an idea.
We got the idea. Clea listened to one full one. I listened to actually two, and since there's only three, I think that's reasonable. And if you go to their website directly, before we get into the show, I just want to say one thing about the website itself. You really, really need to make sure that you have a direct play option on the website, and right now they don't have that. All you can do is either subscribe to their feed or you can download it directly, and there's no play option on the website. That is not good, especially when, if you're trying to download two at a time, the website freezes up, which happened to us on two or three different occasions. So I just wanted to mention that it would be a good idea to put in some kind of a play option so that people don't have to feel that they're forced to download the whole thing to be able to listen to it.
Right.
That said, this basically is what they describe it to be. It's about this guy, Dick Dynamo, the fifth dimensional man. It's told very much in the old-time radio mold. You know, the, now listen to the adventures of Dick Dynamo.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. That sort of thing you would expect to hear with scratchy radio type stuff.
Every once in a while, a commercial for some oddball thing.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to be someone that continues to compare things to the past. It's not fair to people that doing things in the present. But but I have mentioned Firesign Theater in the past, and there is a Nick Danger. They have a few albums called Nick Danger.
They probably have got to know about that, don't you think? Because it really is similar.
I can't imagine that they didn't. But if they didn't, that's fine. Except it just sounds exactly like Nick Danger. It's the same thing, 40s, 50s spoof. The guy's voice sounds exactly like the Nick Danger character.
It's not science fiction-y in Nick Danger. This is science fiction-y.
Right. But, the concept is, in here he's sci-fi. It's, you know, you're going out into different planets and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, Nick Danger has been done and it's ended. So those people that like Nick Danger, this is an opportunity to maybe listen to something very similar.
Yep, that's true.
And I think overall, I thought that, well, definitely the audio quality is good.
Yep.
The music
is really good. I'd like to know whether is that original music? Did they get it from a Podsafe thing? But they did a very good job putting that in with the rest of it.
Most of the voice acting is fairly good. Yep. I'm not overly fond of Dick Dynamo's, the actor.
Nah, not too much. But it's okay.
But it's okay.
It's all right.
Some of the dialogue I felt was a little corny.
Well, I mean, they are spoofing something which by definition is corny.
Yeah, you can spoof corny and not be corny.
Well, the thing that was interesting, we listened to a little bit of Nick Danger after this just to get a sense, and Nick Danger is funnier than this, and I think that may have something to do with the fact that the dialogue wasn't quite as corny.
Right.
What was funny was, now I will say this, I thought towards the end, the one episode that we heard, which was called, as I said, I listened to two, but I listened to part of the Five Carat Curse, and Clea only listened to the full, the Organic Nightmare. And at the end of the Organic Nightmare, where they go into the supermarket, which it turns out is this alien ship,
right,
which is actually recruiting people from basically kidnapping people from
right.
a Whole Foods spoof supermarket to become part of this dish from aliens, whatever. Anyway, so at the end of it, there's this scene where he's trying to escape, and there are all these like women and children who are, you know, asking him to help them, and he's just like, get out of my way. And he's like, you know, and they're saying things like, we're all in this together,
well,
please calm down.
He's seeing them as the enemy, so he's beating them up and pushing through them, and
right, and so he gets
behind.
Into the ship, and at the end he thinks, and there's this narration where he says, if only I could have gotten to those poor devils, I could have done something. And the computer voice is, maximum capacity of 200 people not reached. So there was some funny stuff with
yes.
that, but I wish that there was more subtlety of that kind throughout it, because a lot of it I thought sort of was kind of like up there, yep, I saw that coming,
maybe that's what
there
it is it's not as subtle.
And
because sometimes with Firesign Theater, you have to listen to it a few times, because it's sometimes a little too subtle.
Yeah, but it's that's what makes it more enjoyable, I think. And I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I think a lot of the outside stuff connected to this is very good.
Yeah,
they actually have
the graphics
posters.
Are pretty cool.
They're really, really interestingly and well done. Again, perfect in that kind of 40s Pulp Fiction-y style
right.
of posters that are designed. I like that. And I think that this is obviously a project which has got to take a long time. It reminds me a little bit of two podcasts we reviewed, Planet Retcon Radio a little bit, which is sort of a funny sci-fi thing, but also especially Silent Universe, where we both commented that the music and the casting and all that sort of stuff was really interesting and well done in terms of how it was put together. This certainly reminded me of that also. So it definitely has the external stuff down.
Yes.
With the exception of the website thing, which I talked about, and the fact that they should have a direct play thing. It would also be nice if on the website itself, they have more information. I mean, they have a cast page and things like that, but the website seems to load very slowly to me, and I just don't know if that's a hosting issue or something else, but it's something that you might want to, you know, they might want to keep in mind. And also, it takes them a long time to produce an episode. Like, the third episode came out, I think, in September. They said when they sent this out to me, which was a couple of weeks ago, that they were working on their new one. But I mean, you know, the bottom line is I don't know when the other two came out, but if they're coming out with one every month and a half, that was also an issue that we had with Silent Universe, which is where it's like, if you have to wait, you know, almost 2 months to get a show, which is like 25 minutes, that's going to be hard to build up any momentum, I would think. But I mean, other than that, I like the externals of it. But there's something about the internal part of it, at least related to the stuff, which is not as funny as I think they wanted it to be. Although, as I say, it got better. And I found that in episode 2 was similar in that there were some things that worked, but a lot of things that were kind of, you know, didn't quite hit the mark. Maybe that'll change as they get more into it. You know, if we had listened to all of episode 3, perhaps, you know. But I think if we listen to 2 out of 3 episodes, we have a pretty good sense of it. So,
yeah. And, you know, so I don't know exactly how they write. You know, I don't know if they have any editing, if there's anyone that can kind of come in and listen to it, to read it and see whether or not there's certain things that they can let go, certain things that maybe they can work on and make a little bit funnier. There are definitely things that you might want to cut, that if they don't work, if someone thinks, oh, I'm not sure that works, cut it. Don't just leave it in there.
Right.
Because then it can kind of affect the overall, one of those,
Right, yeah.
But definitely, because there's definitely good moments in there to keep. And,
yeah.
And rather you focus on the good moments and enhancing those and maybe tweaking things than leaving everything in.
And I mean, you know, if you were to get this down to a nice, crisp 20 minutes, then, you know, some of this is 26,
fine.
30, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be that long. You could cut it down to 20 minutes and sort of really focus on the really good stuff rather than just having everything be in there. But having said that, I mean, I think this has got a lot of potential to be a good show.
Yeah.
And I really admire the amount of work that they've put into it that's obvious. And I think it's the kind of thing that you might find enjoyable. It's just that I think it could be better. And I think that we both agree that it's got a little work that needs to do to get there. But I think it could be done. This definitely got some potential there.
Definitely.
Maybe a 6 out of 10, do you want to say for this? Okay. So we'll say a 6 out of 10 for Dick Dynamo, the Fifth Dimensional Man. Check it out. It's definitely worth giving it a listen, and let us know what you guys think as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is going to do it for us for this week. Again, please remember to continue to send in suggestions and comments and ideas for new future reviews. We have a bunch of them down there.
And know that we do have quite a substantial list now, so don't worry, we will get to yours.
We always get to them. It just will take us a little while to get through it. Please keep sending it along. Please keep spreading the word. And please keep being the cool people that you are, because we really appreciate that.
Okay.
Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you soon. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.